Moira accompanied her mother all the way to her mother's quarters. As a white coat and mother to the Baron's mistress, Eleander was given living space that was generous, but kept far away from the Baron's residence. The fog she'd been under as a result of the drug was beginning to wear off. She was weary, but still able to recollect all that had transpired tonight.
I think I might have said a little too much to Sec Chief Robards tonight.
Too much how?
Eleander checked to see that the Sec man following them was well behind.
I told him I suspect him of wanting to overthrow the Baron.
What Sec Chief doesn't?
I know, but his response was troubling. I think he really is planning something.
Moira brought her mother in close.
Maybe you shouldn't stay in your own quarters tonight.
Eleander glanced back at the Sec man.
I think you might be right.
Ryan held Christy tightly in his arms. It had been a while since he'd been able to take his time loving her, and after the frenzied passion of their first session following dinner, Ryan now wanted to rediscover his lover's body slowly. His hands roamed leisurely over the sculpted muscles of her shoulders and arms, down the small of her back and over her buttocks. Meanwhile, Christy was making explorations of her own, caressing Ryan's thighs, running her fingers through the tightly curled hair on his chest, and eventually finding the junction of his legs.
Oh, lover.
Ryan took firm hold of Christy's hips and brought her closer to him. He wanted to love her slowly, sensually, but his instincts were betraying him. Ryan had learned during his years in the Deathlands to make the most of the moment, because he could never be sure what the future might hold for him. As a result, their lovemaking had always been intense and passionate. Then, suddenly, blaster fire erupted somewhere close outside. In moments, Ryan was on his feet and dressed, the Sig Sauer in his hand. Christy followed him outside into the hall, where they were met by JB and Mildred. Shouts and orders were being barked throughout the building.
JB, Mildred, check on Doc and Jack, then meet us outside.
Ryan ran to the end of the hallway, where there was a window overlooking the street in front of the building. JB was already on the move.
Escape attempt?
Ryan looked out the window and down the street.
Nope. Looks more like a Muti invasion.
At the south end of the wall, about a block from the Baron's residence, a group of about 24 Mutis were scaling the wall, climbing over the rusting hulks of Wags in a suicidal attempt to get inside. By the time Ryan and Christy had reached the wall, several Sec men had taken up positions behind buildings and old oil cans scattered in the street and were busy trying to pick off the invaders as they crawled down the jagged slope of the walls. Although a few of the Sec men were decent shots, the majority of their blaster fire was missing the mark by a wide margin. Ryan and Christy took cover inside a doorway about 20 yards from the wall and began to fire single shots at the muties that had made the most progress climbing over the wall. As one of the creatures cried out for bang, Ryan answered with a different definition of the term by putting a round into its open mouth, sending a chunk of brain matter flying out the back of its head that knocked down the mutie standing behind it. Christy waited for that mutie to get to its feet before putting a round from her Smith & Wesson into the creature's chest. Despite Ryan and Christy's shots, more muties continued to flow over the wall. The longer the firefight went on, the more erratic the Sec man's shots became until it was taking them four or five rounds to take down a single one. JB and Mildred joined Ryan and Christy on the firing line.
This is a damned waste of ammo.
Or else the ammo's no good.
Mildred began to fire at the oncoming muties and took one creature out for every round fired.
Where the hell's the Sec Chief?
I haven't seen him. Maybe this is a regular thing and he doesn't need to show up.
It doesn't make any sense. They're like lemmings.
What?
Lemmings. Rodents that used to be found in countries like Sweden and Norway. They breed until they run out of food, then they move across country, tearing up everything along the way. When they reach the sea, they just keep on going until they become exhausted from swimming in the water and die, all together.
That sounds crazy!
What else would you call muties who scale a wall only to meet a certain death?
Mildred raised her check-built target pistol and took aim at a mutie who had made too much progress while she'd been talking. She squeezed the trigger and hit the mutie in the forehead, snapping its neck and sending the body reeling backward.
It's crazy, all right, but nothing in this film makes much sense.
Just then, a wag pulled up with Sec Chief Robards riding in the back behind the driver. He stood and leveled what looked to be an MP-40 on the gang of muties. It was a remade SMG, fashioned out of a combination of solid forgings and stamped steel pieces welded into position. Robards began firing, sending 9mm rounds into the muties at a rate of 500 RPM.
Like killing flies with hammers.
Or he has more ammo than he knows what to do with.
Ammo or brains.
Eventually, the blaster fire ended. The muties were strewn across the ground, or hung up on the wall like dead bodies in a war zone.
Secure the outside perimeter of the wall. Check for any stragglers.
Yes, sir.
The sec men fanned out, looking for any muties who'd made it into the Ville and gone into hiding. Minutes later, the Baron arrived on the scene on foot to inspect the carnage.
Well done.
Thank you, sir.
No, I'm talking about our guests here. I was watching from my balcony and saw how they were chilling these damn muties. One round, one mutie. It's a lesson I wish a few of your sec men learned before they bankrupt me and this Ville.
Yes, sir.
Robarts nearly spat the words out of his mouth. The Baron turned toward Ryan.
You wouldn't be looking for a job as a sec chief, would you?
No, thanks.
Somehow I knew you'd say that.
The Baron turned and began casually walking back to his residence. When demand was out of earshot, Robards had his driver ease the wag over to where Ryan stood so he could have a word with him.
Enjoy it while it lasts, Outlander.
Ryan wanted to ask the sec chief what he'd meant. The man was gone before he had a chance, his wag sending up a huge plume of dirt as it pulled away, forcing Ryan to close his eye. When he opened it again, the sec chief was gone.
Time to reload. Deathlands is continued on the next CD.
You're listening to Black Harvest from the Deathlands series, produced in Graphic Audio. It's a movie in your mind. But what do you do when the show's over and you're wondering how to get your next Deathlands title? They're sold in truck stops across the U.S. and Canada, but they do go fast. If you can't find Graphic Audio there, we've got a number for you. 1-800-670-5220. That number and a phone are all you need to experience again the intensity of more Deathlands in Graphic Audio. When you call and order, we'll send your selection right away, so you can look forward to your next Deathlands in Graphic Audio, mile after mile. Just call 1-800-670-5220. Our customer support folks have a large selection of unabridged Deathlands titles, all produced in the same amazing Graphic Audio you're listening to right now. Call 1-800-670-5220. Our number is also conveniently printed on the cover of all of our audio thrillers. If you're on the road for months at a time and want your order to be sent to an oil desk at a truck stop on your route, just let us know, and we'll be glad to ship it there for you. Deathlands, in Graphic Audio, a movie in your mind. Due to intense violence and sexual situations, Graphic Audio is rated for mature audiences.